Then take the cataplex B12 and add to it folic acid. Now we're in a base of liver powder, desiccated spleen. The shopping list is about the same. Adrenal cytosol extract. Now, folic acid, 400 micrograms, or 100% of the RDA per tablet, and 6 micrograms again. So now both, because as time went on, of course, it was clearly established that they worked together. And so when this came out, it began to be that cataplex B12 was not used near as much because almost always there would be the concomitant need for folic acid. So people shifted to folic acid. Each one tablet provides 100% of the two. So the same kind of list. Can be very effective. Now, we'll look, where are we in relation to lunch?
It's 11:49.
We've got 5 minutes here. Okay. Let's see where we go from here. How many have read this book? Kilmer McCulley, The Homocysteine Revolution. Let me see if I can get through this, and then we do lunch. McCulley was not the first to talk about it. You know who the first to really talk about it was? This weird dentist in Palmyra, Wisconsin. In Protomorphology, Lee talked about the importance of homocysteine, methionine, liver, lipid sheathing for protomorphogens. He went over all of this in 1946 in Protomorphology, long before McCulley. But McCulley gets the credit, and deservedly for what he's doing, but studies are coming out, you can't read this, I know, but saying that, well, here's what they say. The Food and Drug Administration has recommended that cereal grain products be fortified with folic acid to prevent congenital neural tube defects. Since folic acid supplementation reduces levels of plasma homocysteine or plasma total homocysteine, which are frequently elevated in arterial occlusive disease, we hypothesized that folic acid fortification might reduce plasma homocysteine levels. Their conclusion? Cereal fortified with just tell them I'm busy. Cereal fortified with folic acid has the potential to increase plasma folic acid levels and reduce the homocysteine levels. Further clinical trials are required to determine whether folic acid fortification may prevent vascular disease. Until then, our results suggest that folic acid fortification at levels higher than that recommended by the Food and Drug Administration may be warranted. Wait a minute. According to Victor Herbert, only quacks think you need more than the recommended daily allowance. New England Journal is a bunch of quacks. After this issue came out, this was April of last year, within 7 days of this hitting the street, there was a Cheerios ad on TV. I couldn't believe it. It was every lawyer's dream. It was late at night. The Cheerios ad came on and said, "Studies prove 2 bowls of Cheerios per day reduces heart disease." Excuse me. That isn't what it said. This was what they based it on. It said, maybe, and further clinical trials are required. This was a good study. They said, this could be, but now we need to find out. Not the Cheerios boys. With amazing intuitive insight, they said, oh yes, it's very clear. Eat 2 bowls of Cheerios a day and you won't have a heart attack. The ad was only on for seconds. The legal firm must have gotten out of bed and chopped off somebody's head because the ad was gone in a hurry. So somebody jumped the gun and went a little too far. So maybe. Now here's what we do know. An elevated plasma homocysteine level is a risk factor, and in fact now established as an independent risk factor for arterial occlusive diseases that is present in about 13% of patients with coronary heart disease, 35% with stroke, 47% of patients with peripheral arterial occlusive disease. The fortification may do it, although the clinical benefit of reducing homocysteine levels is unproved. It is hypothesized that the rate of atherosclerotic events may be reduced accordingly. And they said, now we have a mechanism, we can understand it, now we need to do some real studies. But not the Cheerios boys, they already knew that. Here's what happens. Here's homocysteine. For years, homocysteine was known. Lee, as I said, talked about it in his book written in 46, released in 47. Homocysteine is an intermediary product. We eat methionine daily. That comes from our diet, one of the amino acids we get ostensibly every day. Well, methionine is critically important. It provides lots of CH3 radicals. Those are methyl groups, which are involved in all kinds of liver functions. If I'm not handling the methionine, if I'm not breaking it down properly, what I can end up with is a high level of homocysteine because it can't cascade down to form the other end products. Well, there is another way to reduce that load called the remethylation cycle. So if the methionine can't be broken down this way, the body always has a back door, I may be able to shove it out this way and get rid of it. Well, to go this way requires B12. To go this way requires B12 folic acid. To go this way requires B6. Finally, they realized, wait a minute. If I'm deficient in folic acid, B12, and B6, this whole thing stops. Now, the one thing that means for sure is liver trouble, because the liver gets congested. And what I definitely get is high levels of circulating homocysteine, because the whole process is blocked right there. Well, for a long time, it was thought that the high homocysteine level was simply a red flag telling you you've got a problem somewhere else. And it wasn't thought that the homocysteine itself was a problem. McCulley theorizes differently. He says, no, the homocysteine itself, this I scanned right out of his book, that's why it looks this way. He said, no, the high homocysteine level itself, when there is a deficiency of B12, folic acid, and B6, becomes a different form, homocysteine thiolactone, and does direct damage to the inner lining of the vessel and is the major cause of atherosclerotic plaquing. Let's take a look. He says, here's what happens. This is out of somebody's book. Homocysteine here. Normally, we will cascade through, break it down, not a problem. But if we're deficient in folic acid, B12, and B6, it takes a side route and becomes homocysteine thiolactone. Well, there still is an opportunity along the way, if we're not grossly deficient, to be converted to a water-soluble form and pass out in the urine. But in the deficient case, it ends up forming a foam cell, which is then a highly reactive oxygen species, like a free radical, ends up causing proliferation of the vascular smooth muscle cells, leading to atherothrombosis. Well, you have to understand what this means. A proliferation of vascular smooth muscle cells. What that means is growth, at least partially, out of control. What is that?
Cancer.
Cancer. This is cancer. It's cancer in the vessel. Here it was a dialogue between Dr. Richard Passwater, who I assumed was a urologist, but lo and behold, he's not. Here was the interview. McCulley said, it has been known for many years that there is an abnormality of methionine and homocysteine processing in cancer cells. In 1976, I published my first study in this field, which showed that cultured malignant cells have a very specific abnormality of homocysteine thiolactone. Malignant cells are unable to convert homocysteine thiolactone to the sulfate form, which would take them out of the body, whereas normal cells do this very well. He says it was 1976 where I figured this out. 1946, in Protomorphology, Royal Lee suggested that we look closely at methionine homocysteine cycles because there was a serious issue there in relation to cancer. But he was a vitamin-pushing dental quack. You see, he didn't do Oprah. No, he was just a genius who saw connections where none existed, who thought of things that people did not see. To him, they were obvious. To others, they were just irrelevant pieces of information. In discussion, I want to back up a minute. We talked about cataplex B12. I want to point out something that Mark pointed out. We were talking over lunch. As I had gone through the list, and you have it on your sheet, it said desiccated stomach. What that really was the secret factor that got it to work. It was that intrinsic factor, and that was from a hog stomach parenchyma, which is nasty, nasty stuff. Mark said that there are several days during the year where everyone in Palmyra calls in sick. Well, hog day is one of them. As it turns out, in the hog physiology, they actually have much more parenchyma and juice-producing tissue than apparently they need, which simply, of course, means it does other functions. That was the source for that intrinsic factor, and that's Lee knew that he could do it. He already had the data on that and knew that he could help get it into the system. That's what was rejected by everybody else. His product line was filled with those secret things that are not evident on the label. That's why we dig through the archives and find out what we can, because there's still unanswered questions. Why this? And we have no idea why. What we do know is if he said it needs to be there, that's good enough for me. He had a reason, and we're just trying to dig it out. It's probably all there in the archives, and it's just tons of stuff to go through. All right.